Our Bible reading this week is in Isaiah 42. You want to make your way over there and start looking at that text. So why are you already laughing?
Well, this is one of those.
He knows what's coming. So before we started recording, I told Jeff that I read Isaiah 42 this morning for the podcast and thought, I haven't a clue. Our word is used here, the word zeal in verse 13, but it's going to be an interesting conversation today about why Isaiah 42. Let's start by talking about the prophets themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, is this our first read in any of the prophets this year?
It may well be, and it's August.
Yeah, so I think that for a lot of people, because the prophets are sort of the black hole of the Bible for us, right?
Right.
We study all the way through the wisdom literature, except for the last book. We skipped that one too.
Not us.
Yes, that's right. But we get into the prophets, and I think we come in at a starting disadvantage because we just don't spend a lot of time in the prophets.
Yeah.
And so that creates trouble when we pick a random text like Isaiah 42
right.
and start trying to read it. Because we just don't know what's going on. And
right.
We don't know what's happening. So that might be helpful. When you're reading the prophets, that's kind of the starting point. Who's talking and who is he
right.
talking to and what's going on? What's
right.
the circumstances that provokes him to say something?
Right. And so, the two things I think that make the prophets hard, number one is the language, right? It's poetry, and so it's heavily given the symbol and
metaphor.
Apocalyptic
sometimes.
Sometimes it's apocalyptic. And so, yeah, it's symbolic, metaphor, and we're not used to reading that kind of language in the first place. So the first kind of obstacle is the language itself. The second obstacle is, even if you can get past the challenge of that poetry and all that goes with it, is that it's not a narrative, so it doesn't go and, something happens, and you kind of see the line of thought. It's more kind of organized conceptually a lot of times by concepts, and so it's about the people's sin and God's punishment or warning about punishment based upon the concept. So one passage may be describing the depth of the people's sin. Another passage may be describing the depth of God's anger at their sin. Another section may be describing, the nature of how they've broken the covenant, how their sin has broken the covenant. Another section may be describing God's plans after judgment and catastrophic destruction to restore them.
Right.
Occasionally, then you'll have a messianic hope stuck in there somewhere in the middle of
all
that.
Way in the future.
That's right. But the thing is, you kind of got these 6, 7, 8 different kinds of concepts. And really, when you get down to it, the prophets boil down to really 6, 7, 8 kind of concepts. But they're thrown in all sorts of different orders and different ways. And so it's like a box of Legos, of different colors, red, blue, green. Those are the different concepts. And they're bricked together all different ways in different prophetic books. Until you figure out what the concept is that we're talking about, it's hard to understand what's going on. But the basic concepts are either asserting God is Lord, either describing the people's sin,
right.
describing how the covenant's been broken, calling them to repentance, shape up before judgment.
Judgment's coming.
Describing the judgment itself.
Right.
If you don't shape up, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be awful. Hope of restoration after the judgment. And then the ultimate fix, which is a Messiah.
Right.
Eventually, I'm going to fix this with a whole different covenant and a whole different kind of leader.
So that makes me think about the first verse of Isaiah 42.
Yeah.
Behold my servant,
yep.
which in Isaiah is kind of one of his themes running
it
through
is.
The book.
It is.
So servant.
There are 4 servant songs in Isaiah. The first of them is this one, Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. The one we know most well is Isaiah 53.
53,
that's
right.
actually the last one. Yeah, that's actually one of that's go back and look at the language of Isaiah 53. That's my servant. Really starts in chapter 52, verse 13, but the chapter breaks in the wrong place, as is always the case. But but anyway, so part of 42 here is the first of those servant songs. And the trick is in the earlier sections of Isaiah, and we actually have a little bit of that here today. Often the servant is the coming Messiah, but occasionally the servant is Israel in his fallenness. It gets a little bit confusing sometimes because sometimes you'll see the
right.
servant sins in Isaiah, and you sit there and say, "Wait, I thought the servant was Jesus."
I can't be Jesus.
Yeah, and that's part of your clue that actually the servant isn't. Because what really is the idea is Israel was supposed to be God's servant collectively as a nation,
right,
a light to the nations, etc. They failed in their job. And so God is going to send the capital S servant, the one who does both what Adam was supposed to do and what Israel was supposed to do.
His son.
Who turns out to be the son of God himself. Right. And that servant will do all things right and well, except he'll be rejected for doing it, Isaiah 53. That's in literally Isaiah talks about that rejection of that servant. By the failed servant, so to speak.
Okay, so the servant in 42 mm-hmm. is a messianic segment.
The first one
looking,
is.
Looking to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we've got to tie that in
right.
with our focus this year on being zealous for good works. I'm sure. guessing you're going to take us to verse 13.
Yeah, that's ultimately, yeah. Now going back to why in the world, how did we ever get here and why do we in the first place? Yeah, because part of what this chapter is about is God's zeal. God's zeal to fix, to restore his people. You know, that going back to part of what God loves to do is to show grace and mercy. What God loves to do is be loyal to those he has made covenant to, even when they are disloyal to him. That's just part of his nature. And so, yeah, this chapter, not so much in the servant song itself, Isaiah 42, 1 through 9, but later in the chapter then, it's explicit about God's zeal and his zeal to restore his fallen servant, because that's the thing in verse 19, you have God calling out, who is blind but my servant, or as deaf as my messenger whom I send. That's not Jesus. That's the servant who needs rescuing by the capital S servant of verses 1 through 9.
So one of the angles of zeal, I'm trying to think, I don't think we've commented about it all year, is the time that zeal is attributed to God.
That's right.
Because it is to Jesus. We looked at that text.
Yeah.
But I don't think we ever spent any time talking about God being zealous, which is an interesting concept.
Oh, it is. And I think actually, David, along that line, you know, here you have in Isaiah God's zeal to both punish but then restore his people, because it's you know, God's punishment is designed to punish, but also to purify his people, that remnant into what can become, you know, eventually the righteous remnant of the Jews that leads to Jesus, that leads to the church. That said, I think it maps well into the New Testament, because what then Jesus himself shows us, because he is now the servant come in God's zeal to ultimately save his people. What we're seeing then is then Jesus teaches us about how much God loves even the one sheep and so forth. Now we're into the evangelistic mode. God is zealous to come after us, to both punish but purify and then save us. We're called then to go and do likewise in the mode that Jesus himself did, which is seek and save the lost, be motivated by the same zeal for the lost and their reclamation that God is.
Interesting, because that then stirs my brain to think that if you created categories here, mm-hmm. that in a sense, we too imitate God's zeal. For example,
sure.
zealous about defending the faith.
Yep.
Passionate about answering those who would corrupt the teaching of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And lead his people astray. You know, the elders at Ephesus were urged to be very watchful and
guard
careful.
The flock.
Yeah, zealous in their work to protect the flock.
That's right.
And yet zealous also to go out and rescue the people who are caught up in this error and help them find their way back to Jesus.
Yeah.
So in a sense, our zeal is meant to mirror his.
Absolutely.
So there's some things to think about that as we spend our time reading in Isaiah 42, to think about the zeal of God and how our zeal needs to be like his.